Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is I. They call me Squid Billy. My name is Bo Morgan, and I'm a Gabby Award-winning producer, and but not radio host, just producer. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson, and it's not pistol. Well, it was yesterday, but not today. She is a tofu-tasting queen of improv. The first lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack, and behind the glass, our very own hype man, the creepy waving Eagles fan, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews on the ones and twos. And he looks different without glasses, by the way.
Ding.
So he dropped it. Somehow he dropped his lens earlier, and I looked at him and I was like, who are you?
Isn't it weird when someone loses glasses? I grew up, my father had glasses my entire life, and he got LASIK, I want to say 7-8 years ago. I'm still not used to it. Like, yeah. I'm still not used to seeing my dad without glasses.
I had glasses from probably like third or fourth grade until, well, when I met you the first time, when I was interning, I had glasses. And then I got LASIK through the radio station I was working at the time. And I've been without for like 15 years now.
Dude.
It's crazy.
I watched my wife get LASIK. Like, ooh. They had the whole, I mean, there was like 100 people in there.
Yeah.
And like right on the other side of the waiting room glass, you could just watch the thing happen.
Yeah. It's
and
cool.
And it was disgusting.
You can
it
smell
was
it.
Absolutely disgusting.
You can smell the laser when you're having a procedure done. I had it in like, I think it was like in Johns Creek, Dr. Ashraf, I think was the guy that did it for me. And his nurses, let's just say it's a good sight to see when you can see again.
Wow.
You're like, whoa.
Wow.
I didn't know you're the one that was, where'd you come from?
You're like one of those babies getting glasses for the first time that can see a whole
yeah.
new world.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah. It was good.
I'm trying
good
to think,
world to see.
Where, you drove by, actually, when Lindsay was getting LASIK. I can't remember where I was. Where were
yeah,
we?
Yeah, you were over in the Truist Park area, the
Cumberland?
Battery area. Yeah, it's Cumberland
yeah, okay.
area.
All right, cool.
At one of those... It's I don't want to say industrial type park, but yeah, industrial park.
Yeah, sure. Business park.
I think I was dropping off
charts.
A flip card. Yeah. the
I
chart.
Was like going downstairs going, dude, she's got done.
Awful. Were you in the booth? I'm sorry, Allie. I've hijacked.
You're fine.
Your opening segment.
You're fine. I just hope nobody is puking listening to this conversation.
Were you in the booth when Sunday Wes was talking about going to get his chart?
And, yes, so good.
The guy there's two guys that I get my charts from. I saw in Woodstock at the FedEx store in Woodstock, and one of them's Danny, who's probably listening right now. He's a big listener, and you know, he's become like a buddy, like right. Like we go in there and I ask him how his family's doing, everything, and he's got a kid a younger guy that works with him, who and he actually lives in my neighborhood. And so I guess he had changed stores, and he saw Wes. He's like, "Oh, I know a guy that's a broadcaster that gets this." And I know that Wes was like, "What?"
Yeah, you blew right through that. Dude. You should have dropped. Like he just blew through that comment. So Wes walks in. Wes Durham walks in. The voice of the Atlanta Falcons walks in, and the guy hands him his chart. We're near Wes's house, and he goes, "Oh, there's a guy down in Woodstock that comes and gets his chart. He's an actual broadcaster." And Wes was like, "Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really cool."
And I know Wes is like probably like a little red.
Just I was like, because... "Dude, don't blow by the hammer here. Like that was the best part."
And I'm just sitting there laughing because it's Danny and my name always the other guy's name always escapes me because I'm terrible at names. But they're the nicest people, and literally, you know, it's how's the family conversations right. and everything. So when he dropped that on Wes, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. It'd been hilarious. But yeah, he's an actual broadcaster.
Oh my gosh, that's my favorite moment. We might have peaked on the show already today because that's top notch.
Got in Woodstock. He's an actual broadcaster. Oh, cool.
All right, let's talk about a few things that have happened since we last got to chat. Tyreek Hill suffered a horrific injury during Monday Night Football. During the third quarter, Jets safety Malachi Moore went to tackle him, and Tyreek's left leg twisted brutally underneath him. He was carted off. They're saying dislocated knee at this point. The Dolphins did end up winning 27-21 over the Jets. Broncos dominated against the Bengals last night, 28-3. MLB playoffs start today in Braves country. Still waiting to hear Brian Snicker's decision on whether he'll return or not next season. I'm hearing rumblings of we'll hear something by Friday.
By Friday. Wow.
Hopefully. Allegedly. Maybe.
Does that make you feel more or less likely that he comes back?
He's coming back.
If we're waiting 5 days?
I think he's coming back.
I tend to agree with Allie. I think he's coming back. I thought literally the entire season that he was not coming back. Mm-hmm. And the way it played out at the end a little bit, kind of some of the rumblings, the fact that they didn't honor him made me realize that he either has told them I'm coming back and they're trying to discuss what the contract's going to look like, or he just wholeheartedly hadn't decided. And if you haven't decided and you've been in baseball – well, this one organization for what, Allie, 50 years?
49. Next year would be 50.
50. He's coming back. That's the only thing I can think of. And if Allie thinks that I'm with her.
Well, and he's going to say it's only 1 year. He's going to, this is it. He's going to say it's the last year.
He's going to get his cowboy hat from Houston, his boots from the Rangers,
sold,
and that kind of stuff.
I'm not sold he's coming back.
I think he's coming back.
I think that here's what I hear when I hear, oh, you know, we're going to wait a few days. I hear Alex, Derek, whoever it may be, wants to be sold on what the vision is. Like, they want to meet with him once, twice, maybe even three times to, like, go ahead and get a clear picture of what our different plans are for next season.
Isn't this weird? You're a little bit more on the pessimistic side of this than Bo and I?
He's always pessimistic. I'm the positive one on the show.
Right. Yeah, right.
I just think baseball's different. I think baseball is a sport where you're together from February to October, September. I know October, and it's October tomorrow. You kind of have a read on what somebody wants to do. I don't think I just don't feel like there's any way that Alex Anthopoulos doesn't know what Brian Snicker's plan for. I mean, Brian Snicker ain't changing either, by the way.
Dang.
So it's not like he's going to come in here. Oh, here's my plan. He's going to, if anything, maybe Snicker wants to know Anthopoulos' plan. And, hey, how are we going to do this, build this team? What are we going to have in the bullpen? What is your thoughts on doing it? Because Brian Snicker is not changing, okay? You're not going to sit down with Brian Snicker and say, so how are you going to manage this year? He's done it the same way for 49 years. It ain't changing. I would say, if anything, Alex Anthopoulos – and Brian Snicker would want to meet on – Snicker wants to know what they're going to do with the team.
It's I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. It's a meeting of the minds. Hey, what do we need to be able to make sure you have everything in your arsenal for your blueprint, things like that. I don't even find it – it's just funny. I was just going back and it's like, I am being the more pessimistic one. Then I was like, wait, just because I don't think he's coming back, it's not pessimistic. Just because I think he's not coming back. Like, I just think that – I don't know. I think he deserves to go out on top, and I'm hoping that he gets a chance to. I just don't know that that's definitely going to happen. And so maybe I'm just a little bit burned from this year, but the second half does give you some light at the end of the tunnel, I think, in terms of the team.
Well, and that's exactly why I think he would come back for another season. I feel like he felt a little burned by the season. This season did not go the way anyone wanted. So you can't just let that one kind of anomaly of his entire 49-year career take you out. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Switching gears a little bit, we did get some news out of Flowery Branch. Raheem Morris gave injury updates on Storm Norton, Darnell Mooney, and AJ Terrell.
I don't have a lot of information on those guys yet. I got a medical meeting coming up here in a little bit. I probably have more after that. Be way more informative next week when we get back. I have to go check on Storm, check on all those guys, obviously on the IR. Obviously, you potentially could open up a couple of those windows coming up here shortly, you know, after the 4 weeks are up, and then that's up, and then you open those things up. You still got those weeks that you can have kind of as buffers. So we'll get a feel where they're all at the company's medical meetings. I don't have a lot of information on it. Hoping that we can get AJ back, you know, after this bye, another week of rest for him and get a chance to get him out there. That's probably the one I do have a little bit more information on than the other guy. Don't know anything about Mooney other than, you know, we'll have to see from this week. Obviously, he left yesterday with the hamstring. So we'll see. I don't know how bad it was, but I don't think it's something too bad. But we'll get a check. I'll get a feel for it later.
Man. I hadn't even – well, and we talked about Storm Norton a little bit yesterday, but I was just thinking in my mind, like, is it time for a Troy Andersen update? Like, where are we at on that?
I thought about that the other day, too. I was like – somebody brought up his – somebody was complaining about Xavier Watts being on special teams, and Troy Andersen came up because he got re-injured on a special teams play. And we'll get in the whole special teams and why starters play. But I thought about Troy Andersen, too. I heard Todd Bowles – in an interview yesterday, and he was asked about injuries. It was on the NFL channel, and they said they did a full interview with Todd Bowles. And dude, you hear how much Raheem went on? Raheem gave you an update on every player. Coach, how you guys have any injuries? Yeah, we had a few guys nicked up.
Yeah, it went the Belichick route.
But everything was a Belichick route. It's just who he is. He's short, and Raheem gives you his full answers. AJ will be back for Buffalo. I don't doubt that. I think Mooney will be back. I think the window being open, you got 21 days before these guys, when you open the window on them.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it yesterday. I think Storm Norton will be back. I still don't think he'll be a starter.
Yeah. I'm not sold. There's a lot that Elijah does really well. He's not a pro bowler. But I think that he is serviceable in both the run and the pass enough to where I think you can have dimensions both through the air and on the ground with him in the lineup. I think with Caleb, we always talked about with Caleb and Storm. I think Caleb's like a much better run blocker than he is a pass blocker. I think Storm's a much better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. I think Elijah might not be to the level of either one of their goods, but he's not as low as either one of their bads.
He's better. He's the median of both. Or right? Like he's in the middle. Like he is, like if you average those two out,
yes,
it's Elijah Wilkinson.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, yeah, I mean, what if they alternate series?
I don't see that happening. I hope not.
I'm just kidding. If you have,
well, I say that because I've been watching Bama's O line from last week, Georgia's O line. There's a couple of teams in college football that are doing that. You just don't see that much,
dude.
And it's frustrating for me because I'm like, man, just when you have that conversation with the guard next to you, and you're like, hey, we're gonna next time we see that twist stunt, let's give it a little call. Let's make sure we. And then all of a sudden somebody else is playing next to you. It's like, dude, you didn't have to do that.
We haven't even talked. You just hit me. You haven't even talked about the left tackle screen.
Yeah, I know.
To Caden Proctor in the Alabama-Georgia game.
Wasn't going to bring it up yesterday, but it's
Can we talk about that?
Thing.
We have a whole show to get to whatever you want today, Bo.
Oh, whatever I want?
The show is your oyster today, Bo.
Oh, well, y'all better buckle up.
All right, coming up, yesterday was Victory Monday. Now, the guys have had their hands on the film from Sunday's game. We're going to get into the ins and outs behind that Falcons win next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. We are the Morning Shift. We are clocked in, ready to go on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Kind of an eventful 24 hours for the Morning Shift between Mike going to a concert and Bo getting stuck in an elevator. I'm so glad we're all here today.
Yeah, I was starting to get a little antsy about, hey, is this door ever going to open?
Yeah.
I might be doing this show from the elevator.
I don't blame you. I'm...
You doing okay today?
I was out late last night. It's all right, though.
You're struggling a little
Feel
bit.
Good. Oh, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. I don't think you would ever know you went to a concert last night.
Looked at me and said, you're struggling a little bit.
It's something about you, something right. Around the eyes. I'm just kidding.
Is that what it is?
Okay. The tired feeling okay. In the morning is worth the memories you will have with your wife for a lifetime.
My wife already texted me, and she said, do you regret it? And I said, no.
Absolutely not.
I don't. But, anytime you have the early wake-up calls that we have, yeah, it's a roll of the dice on a Monday night to go to a concert.
So. I just like the fact that I beat you in this morning.
Yeah.
It's always nice to be the first one in here because I'm normally the third person in.
I was like, I'm going to need a little bit of extra caffeine, so I went to the old QT and got a little coffee.
You know, I don't think I've seen you with a coffee in your hand in quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Training camp.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
and here in the studio, it's been a long time.
Since you begged the president of the Falcons to bring you coffee.
Which didn't happen.
Not exactly what happened in that situation whatsoever. All right, so we briefly mentioned Monday Night Football earlier. Dolphins beat the Jets 27-21. Tyreek Hill's injury last night, though. Guys, they're saying dislocated knee. What do your eyes say?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, Mike asked me, I text y'all, and Mike was obviously enjoying Lil Wayne, and he said, hey, what is it? Is it knee or bone? And I said, I don't know. It looks, because I don't know, his foot and his knee aren't facing the same way.
Right.
It looked initially like maybe dislocated ankle or broken ankle. They're saying knee. Initial thoughts is when they say knee dislocation, I know Mike has a lot of context on this. He's been around these types of injuries and stuff. Structural damage for a guy like Tyreek Hill is huge, and that's the number one thing they're probably worried about, especially when I was reading an interaction with, I think it was Teron Armstead, said he FaceTimed with Tyreek last night, and Tyreek Hill's like, yeah, we got the win, that's all that matters, and said that Tyreek mentioned that he was seen smiling and laughing on the cart. And he was like, yeah, he's like, that was the only way I didn't pass out. I was laughing and trying pass out from the pain.
I believe it. Yeah, and I would imagine there was something else happening with the pain when he was FaceTiming Teron Armstead as well.
Yes.
So he's probably on a pretty good drip.
Well, the main laughing was he was seen as they're pulling away. Someone tweeted out a video of him on the cart.
Yeah.
And he's laughing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, he's so happy. Even an injury can't keep his happiness off his face to be away from the Dolphins now.
Yeah.
And that's not it. He was saying that, yeah, I was trying to do anything I could to make it through the pain at the time.
Bo he brings up a good point. There's a lot of different things. It's sometimes you have dislocations that are clean, and other times they are very not clean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's been people – my injury was dislocated ankle. There's been people that have had that don't have any, like, torn cartilage or anything, and it just kind of goes back into place, and you know, it's almost like a dislocation with a high ankle sprain. You wait like 2 or 3 months and the swelling goes down and everything kind of. Mine was not. I tore a bunch of cartilage, had to have microfracture surgery, things like that, and it never goes back to exactly how it's supposed to feel. So we've seen gruesome injuries with players. You know, Chris Godwin comes to mind. Obviously, Nick Chubb. I mean, there's been guys that have had just these gnarly knee injuries in the past. Some of them can bounce back, some of them can't. So we'll see what all structurally comes out. But makes a lot of sense that he had to go to the hospital for imaging last night because sometimes there is damage to arteries and things like that inside the knee, and you got to get that taken care of, man. That's tough.
Well, and
yeah, sorry. I mean, you guys are both making the face at me.
I'm sorry.
Like, I didn't say anything gross. Y'all, I didn't even watch it.
No, it's not the grossest. Look, I've had ACL, meniscus, broken bones, all that stuff. Yeah. It's not any of that. It's when you mention artery.
Yeah, it was arteries.
It's like,
is that what it was?
The grimace.
I thought it was cartilage, but
the grimace isn't like you gross me out. It's
like, woof,
damn,
that's
like
serious.
The pain and the seriousness. And also, like, I know the listeners are probably this way 1,000 times. I was there when Mike hurt himself. Mm-hmm. Mike got hurt. And so, like, I think about it, and, like, I think, you know, every injury is different for everybody because of we're all different physically, right?
Right, exactly.
And I just think about you going, I remember you going through that and knowing about you then and now obviously being very close with you now, like, it's just like, I relive. Yeah, I know you have to relive it talking about it, but I relive some of those things. Like, damn, like that was, I can't imagine.
It's unfortunate to say the least. And, mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the things is you don't ever know the extent until you get the imaging. Mm-hmm. And they put, you know, they got the imaging and eventually did surgeries a couple days later. And once the camera got in there, it was like, dude, not good. Not good. And they had to remove some of the cartilage out of there and do microfracture and everything else. So unfortunate. And I do hope the best for Tyreek Hill and his recovery, man, because obviously that's a tough thing to go through.
When do you think we'll get an update since he got imaging last night?
I think it's going to be a few days.
Okay.
Usually things like this, swelling go down, see a specialist, you know, this, that, and the other, have a game plan, maybe wait post-op. Maybe they have to get in there before they know enough. So we'll see. But, you know, like I said, just unfortunate.
There's no rush. He's obviously missing the next few games.
Yeah.
There's no rush. Just take their time, like, get everything kind of hashed out as far as let everything go down, and then they'll probably get a second opinion too, because it could be a major surgery.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Broncos also played last night, and they crushed the Bengals 28-3.
Yeah, shout out to their defense for taking care of Jamar Chase for our fantasy team. Dude, he's got to be frustrated. I think Justin Jefferson's frustrated inside of their offense. I can't imagine how Jamar Chase is feeling, even though Justin Jefferson had a bunch of catches the other day.
Did you see him on the sideline? He went to Zach Taylor. Like, it's going to get ugly there.
Yeah.
Because, look, I think Jake Browning's serviceable, but he hasn't looked that way the last couple of weeks. It's going to get ugly. I don't know what to do if you know, Cincinnati is a product of their own cheapness in some ways, and they're ridiculous how they've treated the offense is paying everybody on offense and letting the defense say, oh, screw y'all. You know what, Trey Hendrickson, you're the best player on the team other than not named Joe Burrow or Jamar Chase, but we're gonna lowball you.
Yeah.
And now that they're going to suffer from all of this, I mean, I know that Hendrickson's there, but still, they've let a lot of defensive players walk over the last few years. I don't know, Jesse Bates.
You think Jake Browning makes it all the way through until the return of Joe Burrow as a starter? Because I'm just not sure.
I know. And for everyone that's going to say, well, Falcons, Kirk Cousins, that deal would never get done. That's an organization to me. Now, maybe I'm wrong.
That would be a bad marriage between mobility and blocking.
Mobility and blocking, financially. They're not going to give you what you want, picks-wise. And if you made all of those things work, Kirk Cousins, why would he sign off on it?
I agree with you. Not only that, but I think a lot of fans, having watched Michael Penix against Carolina, are less likely to want that trade to happen. Now, obviously, bounces back, has an incredible game on Sunday, which, you know, we've got to talk about. But I think that having seen what you saw, some of the ups and downs, I think it means a lot to Falcons fans to have him in the room without mm-hmm. the drama. If there was drama there week in and week out, you get tired of beating the same old drum of what's going to happen, this, that, and the other. But we haven't had to hear about it because 3 out of 4 weeks, Michael Penix has played fine. And I think there's a certain security blanket there for Falcons fans to say, well, you know, if something needed to happen, we always have Kirk Cousins in the background, and we're already paying him a ton of money.
Well, but the question was asked. I mean, the question was asked Raheem in postgame of the Carolina game. Hey, you know, as Kirk came in, and it's like people don't understand. Well, why'd you pull Penix at the end of the Carolina game? Well, why would he keep him in? Like, right. What good comes from saying take reps down 30-0? What good comes from being in your worst game of your professional career, maybe since you were like a freshman in college, and say, keep going out there like nothing. And injury comes from it too. But I also don't believe, Kirk Cousins isn't going anywhere.
This show, we have been saying it since last January. I don't think he's going anywhere.
No, you're wrong. You've been saying it since the day he was benched. And yes. I give you all the credit for that, because you came in and we argued before. Allie, the show wasn't on the air and we were arguing. And it was a good argument, a good debate. And it took me, what, 2 days? Mike, we kept going back and forth. And I started listening to his side of it. And I go, you know what? I'm starting to come around to your side. So, Mike, he was the first person on this radio station. That's why you listen to this show.
Yeah, thank you.
We're the most informed show on this radio station. Really? I was just, in this city.
Politicking Bo into it, you know?
In the Southeast.
Going fine bomb on you.
Well, no, I mean, I said we were informed, okay?
So later in the show, it is Tuesday, so we will get into the good, bad, and ugly of Sunday's game. Raheem talked to the media yesterday, so we'll let you hear some of that. Coming up, though, week 5 of college football had a few ripple effects. We'll dig into those, and we've got my Allie Mack drop. It's my turn at Top 5 Tuesday, and I'm pretty sure the topic will be award-winning. Bo, you keep saying you're a Gabby Award winner. Maybe I'll be a Gabby Award winner, a Marconi winner. Maybe I'll get in the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame for this Top 5 Tuesday. It is the Top 5 Fast Food French Fries, guys. It's time.
Oh, it's
time.
It's here.
It's here.
We've been waiting for this. It's here.
I almost did this a few months ago.
I'm so amped for this. I'm ready for my inner fat boy to come out.
And you better not step out here. I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure on this
salad. I'm not a fry connoisseur such as yourself, but this is a big one.
I'm not worried about this one in the least. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. It's about to get salty in here because I'm about to do the top 5 fast food French fries.
I love a good salty fry.
Dude.
I'm not going to lie.
I thought you were going a completely different direction, so kudos to you. I was like, what are you about to say that's about to irritate me or irritate Bo or make us come to blows in here? Like, what is it? And then you're just talking about your French fries.
My French fries. So,
don't forget,
kudos.
You said that the show was my oyster earlier. So we've got.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
We've got to talk about the left tackle screen.
You never go full Squid Billionaire.
Let's go first with Lane Kiffin and Whit Weeks. We did talk yesterday about how Ole Miss beat LSU 24-19. Now, in his post-game interview, Lane said he was looking for his daughter's boyfriend, Whit Weeks, to see if they covered the over.
Yeah, dude. Did they? I don't think they did. I don't think it was as comfortable as Lane would have loved to have had it.
I think Lane just winning was comfortable for him.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike, we're both way too young in our parenthood to know this, like, and to understand. But do you think, like, I have to think that Lane Kiffin likes Whit Weeks, or he wouldn't be doing the back and forth thing, like, because like. It's not really a joking matter, is it?
No.
I mean, it isn't.
It doesn't strike me as like it's not her like her first boyfriend. Obviously, and I think Lane probably just watching him on tape. Whit Weeks is a really good football player.
Oh, so you think that's it? He's like, well, he's a good football player.
Well, I don't know how much they interact other than that. I mean, they just started kind of dating, so I don't know. Well, you know, I don't know that Whit Weeks has been like, you know, in Oxford a bunch.
How long do you date someone before you go public? When you're in the public eye like that, because you have to know it's solid.
I have to believe if she, with her being a quote unquote influencer or whatever she is, where she does all these videos. And him being such a public figure, yeah. I have to believe that it felt next to impossible for her to wait more than like 2 weeks. Don't you just know that she was like, oh my God, this is going to be the most incredible content ever?
I don't know. I feel like it would take longer than that.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't want to be laughed at.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, do you... Like, I mean, this could have went on for a while. I mean, No. They're college kids.
You're giving her way too much credit.
First off, it's weird to me that she's an adult dating or a college student dating. Because I remember when they were at Tennessee and, you know, Lane and his wife and they had the young kids. Like, I remember when Lane Kiffin was the head coach of Tennessee and it was just like, that was like 17 years ago now. So it's just weird that, you know, his family's grown to this point. But Lane Kiffin's old enough.
Can we get a weekly temperature take from Florida fans on how they feel about Lane Kiffin?
I don't know. The internets are just did we talk about that on this show? That I think we talked about it Friday. I can't remember. Everything's a blur, but the rumor mill is that they were going to hire him last October. Mm-hmm. Like the boosters had the buyout for Napier, and they had arranged a meeting with Kiffin to offer him the job. And Scott Strickland, the AD, shut it down.
Yeah.
Speaking of Florida, they play Texas this week in Gainesville. Dallas Wilson, the five-star freshman receiver who went to Oregon and then was there for literally 2 days. You know, he was there shorter than most of Landry Kiffin's relationships. And then, boom, he's like out the door and he goes to Florida and transfers. Wow. But he's going to make his debut finally. He's been hurt all year.
I'm sure that'll go well.
Well, apparently Napier goes down the press conference and I see a look in DJ Lagway's eyes that I haven't seen. Well, that's great, Billy. Go win a freaking game.
Well, Bo, the next 3 minutes of the show are your oyster. Go ahead and sound off.
Mike, there's been a play I've been dying to talk to you about.
Whoa, what's that?
Alabama, as Carl Duke says, and Georgia are playing. And it's the end of the first half, and they threw a screen pass. To Caden Proctor.
Yes.
Speaking of guys who is a flip-flopper, who likes to leave and come back and leave again. Dude, how did they set it up, and how did they pull this off?
Well, first and foremost, what you got to know about this is they did this formation earlier in the game, and Bama was forced to call a timeout. I don't know if it was a 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, something like that. Big play in the first quarter, and Caden Proctor lines up out wide, and he comes in motion back towards the formation. Kind of spicy to think about because that means there's something else in the arsenal with him out there. They didn't get a chance to run the play. As soon as he comes in motion, Ty Simpson calls a timeout. He's like, yeah, this is not going to work. But, yeah, it looked like they kind of put this play in. And I think it from listening to, you know, Herb Street talk about it during the game, Holly Rowe, and then Ryan Grubb's presser yesterday, it was like they put the play in almost as a joking matter. And he essentially told the guys that were blocking, which I think it was Jim Miller and Jeremy Bernard, if I'm not mistaken, told the guys blocking, he was like, if y'all mess this up one time, we will never run this play. You understand that. If y'all just go out there and practice one time, whiff on a block, don't give 100%. If he drops the ball, whatever it is, if the throw's bad, we will never run this play. And he said every single time, ran it like 8 times in practice, and every single time it looked great. And he was like, all right, I guess we're going to call this play. The only disappointing thing for me is that 360-pound Caden Proctor was trying to read his blocks. Like, nah, dude.
Just go.
Just go.
Just run him over.
Nobody's going to tackle you, dude. Just keep going.
Caden Proctor is 6'7", 365. Mike played tight end for a year and a half with the Falcons at 6'6", 305.
Yeah, a little lighter than that. We had to lighten the drawers a little bit with the, you know, playing a little tight end. So it was like 297, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Because you played. Yeah. Your playing weight at when you were an offensive lineman was 6'6", 305.
Yes.
Okay. And I know that, but well, I guess that, and I asked that double down because Amy asked me the other day, we were on a trip. She's like, how big was Mike when he was played? Like, what was his, like, what was, and I was like, he's like, because we were talking about, you know, who I do the show with her family. So that's how it came. I was like, I think 305 is right. But anyways, this is almost the essential of Varsity Blues Billy Bob, where he's like, oh, is this a play where I run downfield and that loss?
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, it was. I thought that was really, really a cool wrinkle, man. Anytime you get a chance to do something like that. Our left tackle when I was in college, Andre Smith scored a touchdown on a throwback play, like a rollout throwback lateral, which was cool.
And then he gave the first, the worst workout film the NFL has ever seen.
You just have to, why do you always have to do that? You know what I mean?
Like it's the only thing I think of, and I think of Andre Smith.
I don't know. I don't know why you have to do that about my friends, man. Just keep that to yourself.
Oh, your friends.
Yeah.
Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. There's going to be so much debate about this top five Friday because it is the top five fast food French fries. Bo is already raising his hand. I have not even said one location.
She's gonna lose it on you before.
I just got one question. I know you are too.
I
should probably leave for a week. Are there subdivisions? Like, are curly fries still considered regular French fries?
Man, it's subdivisions.
Or are like, are these?
Are you abbreviated?
Subdivisions. What? Neighborhoods.
So. A French fry is a French fry. Curly, waffle, they're all in there, okay?
Tater tots, hash
fried
browns.
Potatoes,
the
yeah.
two honorable mentions are not in the top five because they do not count as French fries.
Wow, okay.
So the honorable mentions are KFC's potato wedges.
Oh, that's a good call. Those are very good. I've had those.
Those are so good.
Yep.
And then the Dunkin' Donuts hash browns should not be as good as they are, but they are amazing. Have a little bit of spice to them, a little bit of season. I know you're getting the donuts when you go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Never
I know you
them.
Are.
Never you
need to try them. Get some snack and bacon and get the hash browns.
Is there anything, is there such thing as a vegan donut? That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, there are places where you can get that. Whole Foods. You gotta seek that
all
kind
right,
of
yeah,
stuff
I'm
out.
Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right, coming in at number five, Dylan, hit it.
Number five.
Now, had this been a couple years ago, number five wouldn't even make the list. Because they had a different formula. If you didn't get them directly from the air, from the fryer, it just wasn't going to hit your fancy. But then a couple years ago, they changed things up.
Introducing Wendy's new fries. Guaranteed hot and crispy, or we'll replace them.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, they made new fries.
Oh, I do kind of remember this.
Yes, they're new crispy. Crispy hot extra fries.
Yes.
And if you don't like them, you can take them back, and they'll give you more.
All right, I'm on board with this.
I always like Wendy's fries. So,
yeah, I'm on board with this.
I agree that they should be on here. Probably a little low, but I've always loved their fries.
Five's a little stressful. Now I'm stressed.
Still a little sticking point in the McCauley household that someone went and tried them without me.
Wow.
Wait a minute. We got to try these together.
Was it Han or Chewy?
It was Mr. McCauley. All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Chick-fil-A. Every time you need a change up from the traditional fry, maybe a different shape, maybe a little extra potato, maybe some of the best sweet tea in all of Georgia. Let's play the music just so we can get the feel for it. Doesn't it make you want some waffle fries right now?
Yeah, I would debate you on the sweet tea.
I'm very concerned right now.
But the waffle fries, I remember the first time I had a waffle fry.
Four.
Changed my life forever.
Four.
A so waffle really. Fry changed your life forever?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I never had a French fry that was webbed.
Four. Four.
Well, and the thing is with waffle fries, they're difficult to get great. And Chick-fil-A does that because you got to cook it. You got to make sure they're crispy, but still have a lot of potatoes. So I enjoy the Chick-fil-A fry quite a bit.
The Lord's fry.
Okay,
number three. This is where it's going to get super salty.
Number three.
This is the one you're all waiting for. Go ahead and play it, Dylan.
To the people who reach into a carton of warm, crispy, golden, perfectly salted McDonald's world-famous fries and return with just one. Who are you, and how do you do that?
It is McDonald's. Now, I know McDonald's fries are the best.
Mm-hmm. They're the OG.
They are the best. Like, we all understand that. They're the umbrella. They're the best fry on the market.
So how are they three?
They're just some accessories to the top two we got to talk about.
What?
But I say McDonald's comes in number three. I know it doesn't make sense, but maybe it will fill up. Go ahead, Dylan.
Real quick, so you can keep going. I agree with Allie on this, and I'm going to save the reason until afterwards, but the reasoning on this.
You're like pre-co-signing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean.
I think I understand her reasoning with this. I'm not trying to be hateful
or come at you, but I think you so co-signing on one of her lists doesn't do her any good.
He's
it doesn't
strong.
Help
her
with
the audience. Take my points down
He's been
a little
strong
bit.
Lately. I'm not going to let him do that
so,
to you.
Yeah, McDonald's is the OG fry. Every time I was sick as a kid on the way home from the doctor, stop by McDonald's and get the fries. The salt, this perfect amount of salt. Oh,
the
so
Coke,
good.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, so number two doesn't have any audio, but we can hit the big voice number two.
Number two.
This is Cheeseburger Bobby's. This is the one that's a little bit off the beaten path here. So they have locations in Cartersville, Cumming, Flowery Branch, Hiram, Marietta, Peachtree Corners,
and
Woodstock.
Flowery Branch used to catch these hands all the time.
Okay.
Never been.
And Sandy Springs.
Here's the accessory portion to my fry debate, because Cheeseburger Bobby's has amazing fries. They're just like Burger King's fries. However, they have a seasoning bar. You can put on the jalapeno, the salt and vinegar, ranch, barbecue, Cajun, and celery salt. Yeah. So you basically get like seven different kinds of fries.
This is the French fry version of somebody. Like, you ever been to, I can't remember whose wedding I went to, where they had a mashed potato bar. This is exactly what that is.
Okay.
You might have rescued things right there, because I was very concerned after the first three. Very concerned. Cheeseburger Bobby's is very sneaky, though. Very sneaky.
You have to try it if you have not tried it. I realize it's an OTP thing, Dylan, so you got to, you know, leave ITP to go try them sometime. Okay. Number one. Hit the big voice, guy.
Number one.
You cannot argue with a curly fry.
Oh, snap.
Arby's goes out of its way, though, to keep people like me who don't eat meat from coming through their door. They actually have a We Have the Meats campaign, and it was to keep people like me out the door.
Arby's, we have the meat.
But if loving you is wrong, Arby's, I don't want to be right.
I can't argue with Arby's being up there, man. I'm telling you something.
Man.
Hey, can I ask you, do you...
I don't hear that commercial and think Allie Mack. I don't hear that commercial in the Allie Mack.
Well, I bet you do now, though. You're not going to hear it now. It's like, I know, the only vegan I really know goes to Arby's for the fries. Do you dip it in Arby's sauce?
Have to, man.
Oh, yes.
You have to.
I buy Arby's sauce. I literally go
to
the store and buy Arby's sauce. And you can buy their curly fries, Allie. I know you know this.
I have them.
Mike, put them in the air fryer.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's solid. So
because
good.
There's enough potato. There's enough crisp. You get a variety of the super curly. You get the obtuse ones.
I would also say the reheat value on Arby's is good as well.
So good.
The reheat
That's
value
such
is good.
A good call.
So good. Well,
there's only one you left off that I'm upset about, but we'll get to that later.
Zaxby's.
Correct.
Yeah, Zaxby's got a good
crinkle fries with the Zax sauce.
Come on, man. Zax sauce. I buy Zax sauce too.
Can we
also, Zax sauce is goated.
Yeah.
Can we also put out there, though, there's no bad fry. All French fries are amazing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like pizza.
The only controversial thing about this segment is what I'm about to say is I personally think Zax sauce is better than Chick-fil-A sauce.
It's not controversial.
That's not controversial at
all.
Don't
at me.
People I hang out with, when I say that, they
come at me like I, you know, just like I have like three heads.
Man. That's their problem, then.
That's a baseline statement.
Well, if you missed any of the top five fast food fries list, they are all laid out in order on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. Feel free to add your favorites, argue if you like. But when it comes to my monies going to French fries, my list is legit. Coming up next, we've got the good, bad, and the ugly from Sunday's game on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.